Hello, beautiful people.
Hello.
Am Jared, the football genius Burgess.
And I am Stephanie Fitzpatrick, aka the Advantage Coach.
This is episode 184 of the Field to the Real podcast.
Yep.
As we continue to move along, it feels like there's a lot of urgency,
Yeah.
in making sure episode 200 is all that we expected.
I think
One,
it's going to be beyond what we expected.
I think so too. And
I think
I
it's going
thank
to be
God that we're in a
something.
place now of like having the ability to make it what we want it to be, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Episode 100 was right in the smack in the middle of
Yes.
the
Jesus. Yes.
pandemic. You know what I'm saying? We had
Yes.
to do it virtually.
Yeah.
And
It
we
was
didn't
still
have really
dope,
any
but it's going
control
to be
over
so
that.
much better. Yeah.
Huh?
It was still dope, but this is going to be so much
Yeah. I do appreciate it too. Like we had so many people like
Yes.
come on and hang on
Yes.
and like,
Yes.
go on that journey with us. And we truly appreciate all of you all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. All right.
Well, let's jump right into this who's really right, because
Let's go.
one of the things that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago was just about the NFL's treatment of Tua
Yeah.
Tagovailoa, the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. And so we saw what he went through with the concussions, how he had to sit out a couple of weeks. And right now, people are saying that he is having an MVP type Rodgers, Manning, Matt
Go
Ryan.
ahead. Thank you. He won MVP. Don't do that. Look,
MVP
don't do
type
that.
season.
Yes.
So at this moment, all that we've seen from him, do you think that he is deserving of the MVP right now? And if you don't, who do you see as deserving?
Okay, great. So glad you asked me. I do not. The only thing I will say is he is extremely efficient right now. But I'm not a stats person, but I will share some stats really quickly. So Tua is at 1,980 yards, 15 touchdowns, three interceptions. Which he has an average passer rating of 115.9. Pretty good, right? pretty good. I'm not knocking him there. I just feel like there's somebody, in my opinion, and I think that it is the desensitized. People get desensitized when somebody is just good all the time. To giving them their just due when they're still being good. You know this, your goat, right? Like it's just people get used to you, so you gotta up the ante type thing, but it's somebody that I feel like consistently, not just this season, but seasons in the past, but we're talking about right now to this present moment, right? So I feel like Patrick Mahomes right now, don't be looking like that.
Y'all
Is
finna get
the
rid of people's eyebrow.
Yeah, I'm with it, but no, not about Patrick. We're not doing that to Patrick because if we're looking at his numbers, he's not that far behind in the passer rating. Because the other numbers, 2,605 passing yards, 21 touchdowns, six interceptions. And a 103.6
Pass
passer rating. I mean,
mean, he sounds like he's 12 points lower.
but he also got what? About 700 more yards, about six more touchdowns. I mean,
Because
I'm
he
just
played in
saying.
about two or three more games.
I'm going
That
for
got
the
nothing
numbers. That don't have
to
nothing to do
do
with it
with
for me.
you.
I'm saying that I feel like it just gets old. And people just kind of say, oh, well, what else do we expect from him? Because he's Patrick Mahomes. And I don't think that's fair. And if it's not him, then somebody else that I can say, His numbers don't look like Patrick's, but he's still doing well. I mean, he got a little few more interceptions, and his passer rating is a little lower because of that. Mm-hmm. But in totality, you know, I don't really like stats as much as I like what I see on the field. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like Patrick Mahomes, too, should be the MVP at this present moment. But I also say that if it's not Patrick, then it's Josh Allen. Because he will pick up the mop bucket and put it on his back and pull the Bills along with him. He does. Because he
don't do that.
He run the ball.
Only my, that's the man my goat been got hurtling. That claim to fame. The mop bucket and the broom and dustpan.
Stop it. All right. Well, let's give him a duster. How about that? He pick up the duster and make sure the cobwebs get out, because dude is like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. He hurting people and playing hurt and all kind of, like, I'm impressed with him from week to week. Like, mm-hmm. Dang, he can do this stuff. So if it is, so for me, that kind of, even if it's not Patrick Mahomes, it's Josh Allen. It's definitely not Tua.
Oh, definitely not. Jesus.
No.
Okay. I'm gonna tell you why it's Tua.
Okay.
So at the point where Tua got injured and went out, mm-hmm. not only were we talking about this should be it for his season, we were thinking like, yo, this may need to be it for his career.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the fact that Tua has been able to come back and be as efficient, that's the thing that I'm looking at. His level of efficiency. And, you know, coming out of college, I wasn't a big Tua fan. I was mm-hmm. really upset that, what's my quarterback from the Eagles?
Jalen Hurts.
I was upset that Jalen Hurts got subbed out of the game for Tua in the national championship against Georgia. I was upset. I was upset by that.
Yeah.
And so I certainly am not necessarily rooting for Tua.
Yeah.
But I am recognizing what I'm seeing. And he's been the most efficient quarterback this season. He's been the most efficient player this season. And when you add to the fact that he had to miss a couple of games because of injury, because of, you know, what we saw as some type of catastrophic event.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm being hyperbolic, but, you know, that was serious.
It wasn't. You know, it wasn't. No, it was awful.
Yeah. Like that was.
Yeah.
That was terrible to see.
Right. I mean, we're talking about somebody's head. That yeah. head trauma is always scary because it's not as easy to, if some, like, breaking your leg or mm-hmm. doing, you know, tearing your ACL, like things like that. Okay. It's horrible. They can yeah. be season and career ending as well. But mm-hmm. when it's your head, it's something weird, like things, it can't be diagnosed necessarily as much as the other yeah. injuries might be. So it is scary. No, not to minimalize at all the fact that the young man has come back. Maybe he shook something up in his head that made him better. I don't know. Not being funny. I'm being for real. You know what I mean? Like, you just never know. But I just don't. So I can't give him MVP because you were hurt and you came back and you still playing. Like, that ain't, yeah. no. Like,
well, no,
the totality of what you've done is not as impressive as those other two, in my opinion. It's so, just not.
I'm going to tell you why it's more impressive. And I'm going to tell you the metric that I use okay. in order to come to this conclusion. Right? So, mm-hmm. right now, their records are kind of similar.
Yeah.
Bills, I believe, are 6-2.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they may be 7-2 right now. Not sure. I can't. I don't know where they are.
Well, they plan. Well, they probably right just.
Now. Or they just ended.
They probably just beat the Vikings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs are 6-2 as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins, they just won, so I believe they are 6-3
mm-hmm.
or 7-3, 6-3.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw, and I want to say it was either Monday night or Thursday night, what Josh Allen did to the Chiefs.
Okay,
they won, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, that would be a reason to give Josh Allen the upper hand over Patrick Mahomes. But okay. when the Bills played the Dolphins, mm-hmm. Tua looked really good against the Bills, mm-hmm. and they won that game, which is the reason why I have Tua above them both. Now, the Dolphins haven't played the Chiefs yet.
Mm-hmm.
Let me make sure I'm not misrepresenting myself. Yes, the Dolphins haven't played the Chiefs yet.
Okay.
And so right now, when you look at, like, you know, when folks do, like, the tiebreakers in playoff right. football or whatever, you know, who beat who head-to-head and this and the third. I think when we look at the numbers and we add that to it, because we can't, the numbers are the only objective way we can say this, right? Because if somebody who doesn't look at all of the games and they have to make a decision,
they're making
you have to go to the numbers.
Right.
Right. And so
yes,
I think when you look at the numbers and we take that QBR or passer rating, it tells you that Tua is having a little bit better of a season than the other two. And Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.
Being more efficient.
Yeah.
Being more efficient. Mm-hmm. Again, being more efficient. But.
And all of their records are similar.
Yeah. I still, because I don't just look at the stats and I'm looking at the games,
mm-hmm.
I'm still not able to. Not over either one of them, but particularly if I'm just going to be honest, Josh Allen right now, I can't give it to him over Josh Allen just because of, the things that Josh Allen does that go above and beyond just being an efficient quarterback.
Mm-hmm. I can see that because Josh Allen, he had to play on, I want to say, fourth and something today,
mm-hmm.
and he was able to convert.
Exactly.
And I mean, it's things like that don't get,
not statistics. Exactly. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you'll still see it show up, but like people aren't digging that deep into the statistics to say like, this quarterback is doing a little bit better than that.
Right. No, they won't. And so this is why I'm saying though, you gotta be as two people who watch football for real, right?
Yeah.
we're going to be a little more
critical
of what's really happening. And so I just feel like I can't give it to him over either one of them, but definitely not over Josh. I might even give you the fact that they beat them. Bills beat the Chiefs, but still Bills Patrick beat the Chiefs, got the bigger numbers.
And the Dolphins beat the Bills.
Yeah, well, okay. And we know, listen, football is not, I don't think there's a dynasty anymore. I don't think there's a dominant team anymore. I don't think that we go from week to week. If we ain't seen nothing else with college football, then from week to week, you just don't ever know.
LSU,
the only dominant team I know is the Bulldogs.
Who?
The Bulldogs. That's the only dominant team. Georgia Bulldogs. It's the only dominant team I see in college football right now.
Did they play LSU yet?
They play them in the SEC championship. You know, they both won. They play LSU in the SEC championship now because they won the West and LSU won it.
LSU won it. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. But and I'm so happy about who won't be there.
My sister is a staunch Georgia Bulldog fan.
Absolutely.
And I'm a troll.
Oh, not a troll. Yeah, no. As long as them people in crimson, they're not even in the playoff picture no more.
Listen, they should have lost to Ole Miss last night.
Oh, my God, they should have lost.
I was so upset by that. I was so upset by the end of that game. And I feel like the referees availed themselves to be Alabama fans.
It's always some cooking to me. I had this argument with every crimson fan. Yeah. It's always a little cook in there for me. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It just is.
I don't like it. I don't like
you
it.
You done smash that boy head into the ground. Like, come on, man. That's a five. That's a penalty. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to call that. Yeah. But it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all off subject. Sorry, y'all. I'm telling you.
Yeah, we got a little bit off, but
yeah.
You guys let us know. Let us know who's really right
Yeah.
Do you think Tua deserves the MVP this year? Or if you don't think that he deserves it, who would you say is deserving of it right now? Real good topics.
Yep.
All right. Ryan Terrell is looking to become the first Orthodox Jew in the NBA. This coming on the heels of the Kyrie Irving, I'm going to just call it a situation, because after speaking with Josiah and his wife, and after speaking with Adam Silver, they came out and said that they understand that Kyrie is not anti-Semitic.
Right. That was not his point. Yes.
And I don't want to make this a Kyrie topic,
because we're going to talk about him in a bit. So.
Yeah. So how do you feel about this? How do you feel about him being the first of... it's kind of crazy to even think about.
But it's true.
Yeah.
Because he would have the yarmulke on if he was... we've never seen this.
Right.
He wears the yarmulke while he plays.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's really... and it could be that there are others who just chose not to, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I feel like they wouldn't say he's the first. And there's a difference. He's an Orthodox Jew, which means they don't have a choice. They wear them all the time, basically.
Yeah.
So other Jewish people wear them ceremonially, basically. So I think this is really dope. I feel like the more diverse sports can get, because sports imitates life. Sports is what kind of drives our world. Mm-hmm. And so if we can diversify sports with helping people to understand all sorts of ethnicities, races, religions, whatever, then I feel like that's only better for the world.
Yeah.
As a whole.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so, I think it's a great story. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's important on the heels of this whole Kyrie Irving situation. And I think the only thing that can make this even better is for Kyrie Irving and Ryan Terrell to have a conversation. Maybe not broadcasted by ESPN, because I don't like the slant over there. I really don't like what's been happening with some of how this thing has been getting reported over there. But maybe on the boardroom, or, you know, that's KD's company, or Uninterrupted, LeBron's company. Some type of conversation that, you know, is athlete-centric and not media-centric, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes. Right?
And I think that conversation would be such a good conversation and very informative for not just the two of them, for everybody who has been looking at what's been going on.
Absolutely. I feel like, again, this is an opportunity to educate the world.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to educate, and it's an opportunity to demonstrate we can see things differently and not hate each other.
Right.
Because we live in that world now. If you don't feel like I do, then I hate you. You don't feel like I do, then you're my enemy. And that should not be the way that it is. We just see things differently because our lives are different. We have different perspectives. We grew up differently. It's all kinds of reasons. We're culturally different. It's a whole bunch of reasons why I don't see things the way you do, but that doesn't mean I'm like, you're my enemy because you don't see it like I do.
We were educated differently.
Correct.
You know?
Correct. Yeah.
And I think this is what this all boils down to. When you think about Kyrie, and I know I've had my issues with how Kyrie has handled things since he's been in Brooklyn. And not even since he's been in Brooklyn, since he left.
Since he's been in the league, Jesus. Yeah. The baby just bless his heart. Yeah.
The one thing I can say is, like, he's not coming from a place of hatred or maliciousness. You know what I'm saying? I think he's coming from a place of, you know, kind of feeling, trying to learn. You know, but I haven't, you know, and you felt it. Like, I haven't really liked the covering of what's been going on around him.
Yeah.
I haven't been a fan of it. And I would like to see a conversation like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so even for myself to be educated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I said. They educate the world. This is an opportunity. You open the floodgates. Yeah. Now this would be the responsible thing. Like, Dave Chappelle is stupid. Did you see Saturday Night Live last night?
I did not. Somebody posted a clip of it and I haven't gotten to watch it yet.
Listen, he is an idiot. So that's how he opened up the show, was like this whole disclaimer. And then he said, if Kyrie, if you had just said this, all this would be gone.
Mm-hmm.
But it is truly an opportunity for him. And I would hope that he would want it, not that he would do it out of some obligation to get back on the court. This is like, I truly want to understand. I truly want to hear from some, like, I want to, like, that would be what would make this amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then those same people who blindly follow people can get educated on something, right? You can get some actual education.
Right.
Some actual real knowledge.
Right.
So I hope that that is a dope idea. I hope that would happen. And I definitely feel like either way, Ryan Turrell or Terrell, whatever, however you say it, is going to break some more barriers that have been up. And we're going to get to see something different. And I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 All right. So the NBA's practice of putting out the last 2 minutes of a game, the report over the calls that were made. How do you feel about it? Especially in the wake of this last game of the Warriors versus the Kings, where was it Clay?
Yes. Was it
Clay?
No, it was Clay.
Clay was clearly fouled. Now, you know my...
No, Clay fouled. Clay fouled the person.
Did he?
Clay, yes. Clay fouled. Well, yeah. He went up and hit his hand. Yep. But I can't think of the Kings player. But yeah, no, it was Clay that fouled the guy.
I saw that in reverse.
Because they won. The Kings. I thought it was Clay, huh? No, the Warriors won.
Right.
And
okay.
The Kings had a chance to tie the game with this.
I don't know what I was looking at.
Yeah. No.
What I was looking at was Clay got fouled. Got fouled. And okay. So I was looking at the wrong game or the wrong clip where Clay got fouled and it was no call. But so apparently Clay fouled someone from the game. It wasn't called. They ended up winning the game. The Warriors did.
Yes.
And so the NBA put this out, and it doesn't matter because nothing didn't change from that.
That's so you just answered what you asked me. That how do I feel about it? That's how I feel about it. Like, it's just something to kind of ignite people, in my opinion. It's a gaslighting kind of thing. Like, why does it matter at this point?
I like it for transparency's sake. And I'm going to tell you why it's necessary. I'm going to give you one name of the reason why it's necessary.
Okay.
Tim Donaghy.
Okay.
So the reason why you have to put out a statement like that after having those type of, you know, that's not even allegations, because he went to jail for betting
on
NBA games that he was a part of.
Part of, right.
The reason why you have to put that out is to say, like, listen, hey, we recognize that a mistake has been made. Okay. Now, while we can't change it, we do recognize a mistake has been made, and we are clearly pointing out our faults. We're going to try to get better, but we just want you to know that we made a mistake right here. Okay. Is that the people's eyebrow?
That's the people's eyebrow. Because I'm confused. That was good. You were good. I was with you till you said, they said, we're going to try to do better.
Well, we know they're not going to do better.
Like that's PC.
But I think that's their sentiment. We're going to try to.
Well, I don't know if that's really what this is. I don't know. I feel like it's just, you know, the game's over. People were upset at the time. You just reopening wounds when you come back and say, well, you know what? We were wrong. So what? You can't do, you're going to go back and play those 2 minutes of the game that you messed up in? Like, what are we talking about? Unless you're going to be going back and fixing schedules and changing that, I don't know what this is really doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's waste of time. You paying people to actually sit down and watch these games and figure. I mean, and the only other thing you could do is say, hey, they missed the call in the. And I don't know if this is true or not, but here's what would make me feel better as a fan of the game of basketball. If we're going to do these 2-minute reports and we're going to have some accountability, so you start punching them in their pockets for messing up.
That's going to be difficult to do.
But I'm saying something.
You mean you punching the referees in their pockets?
Yes.
Okay. I'm for that. Yes. I'm 100%
for that. Yes. Punch the referee in his pocket because he jacked up the game. Like, true. Something. If give me something. I need something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just need something. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's because otherwise it's just fruit. What are we doing this for? For what?
Yeah. There's really no reason.
Because what you said sounded great, but that's of course malarkey. You know what it is.
Well, you know, I gotta make an argument.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I think this was something they had to kind of do because people bet on sports.
Yeah.
And when you make calls that seemingly are like, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. And there is no explanation for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was probably, it probably was solely for the betting public.
And are they getting their money back?
We messed up their money. I know. You ain't going to get your money back.
Okay, then again, why are we doing this?
But we messed it up. Me off. We just want you to know that we acknowledge that we messed
it up. You're the reason I lost my money. You want me to know you're the reason I lost my money. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. I knew that already. Thank you.
It's something about somebody admitting that they were wrong in what they did, regardless of if it can be changed or not.
I guess.
Accountability.
You know, if this was a relationship, I'd be like, absolutely, that makes total sense.
This isn't a relationship. My money is in this.
So, whatever. And in a relationship, if you admit you're wrong about something, and you probably really will be like, and I'll try to do better, right? Mm-hmm. But you've also given me the opportunity to be able to hold you accountable to doing better. How do we hold the refs accountable? Where does it come from? Again, I'm going to say, hit them in their pockets, and that's they true. Might think about it before they do. Like,
that's true. No, I'm with you.
I'm just saying. You want me to feel better? Hit them in their pockets. That's what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, let's move on to this topic, and I'm glad that we are finding ways to continue to talk about this because...
Absolutely. It's ridiculous.
While, you know, I've given my take on why I feel like she's still over there and why nothing has been done yet. And I'm not going to say nothing has been done. I do feel like there has been an effort to bring Brittany Griner home. But I think that the political play from the Russians and from Vladimir Putin himself is going to lean heavily in their favor. So right now, and this is unconfirmed, but the person that they want for Brittany Griner, the person that they want for her is a bit much to give up. Right?
It's a mercenary. It's a
person who is an international terrorist.
A mercenary, yes.
He's a mercenary. He's killed people.
Multiple.
I won't give a number, but he's killed many people.
Yes.
And letting him out would do a lot of damage, not just to our country, but other countries around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's advantageous for Russia to have him out, right? Because he would then owe Russia a favor.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not advantageous for our country and the rest of the world for him to be out.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, now that the midterm elections are over, and there isn't a lot of like political capital right now.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden came out and said he's hoping that now that this is over, that Vladimir Putin would be more willing to do a reasonable prisoner exchange in exchange for Brittany Griner.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
So we've obviously talked multiple times about this whole situation.
Right.
The thing that struck me, the reason that this is on here, is it's not about the prisoner exchange. It's not about the mercenary versus Brittany. It's mm-hmm. not. It is now that the midterm elections are over.
Mm-hmm.
That rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
That, just that, rubbed me the wrong way, because we are talking about a person, a sports figure, a prominent sports figure, not that that should matter, but celebrity does.
It does.
For this country, mm-hmm. who essentially, you, to me, you saying now that the midterm elections are over, and it could be that I'm reading it because I'm so, like, I'm so emotional about this.
Yeah.
That I'm reading it wrong, that it wasn't meant to be like that, but it just feels like the wrong thing to say, because it makes me think that you needed to focus on getting the House and the Senate more than getting this young lady home.
So I think the part of that, and I understand why you would say that. I think the part of that is, now that nobody is vying for office, this now can be a bipartisan issue and not a partisan issue where somebody says—
can use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, use it for mm-hmm. political gain, right? Mm-hmm. There's no gain in it right now. Nobody is, you know—
Senate is set. Yep. Senate's already set at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, except the runoff in Georgia.
But the Democrats took the Senate.
Oh, really? Okay.
Nevada yesterday.
Yes. Okay. Okay. She won. I was waiting on them. I hadn't heard about it yet. So thank God.
She won. So yeah.
Good. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we in there.
Good.
And I'm not even a Democrat, but yeah. I'm independent.
Yeah.
I think, though, I think his words came from a place of, all right, now that, not just me, because it's not just him.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we all can collectively focus on what we can do to bring her home and what mm-hmm. people we can exchange for her, we can do that now without it being an issue of somebody thinking about how they'll look because of what they're trying to gain based off of the election.
I hear you.
Mm.
I'ma just, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, all I think about is a human being. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, my investment in politics is zero.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, I mean, like, I just see people.
Yeah.
I hate the divisiveness of anything that divides us, I hate it. And this is one area that clearly divides us as people.
It does. Yeah.
It's probably the most divisive thing in the United States. And that's why outside of the construct of race, it is the most divisive thing that we have in the United States. And
that's why I don't consider myself a Republican or a Democrat. I'm independent. You know, whoever is speaking to the issues that I
identify. Are relevant. I mean,
you know,
so I can't get into that. And so I hate that somebody's life
mm-hmm.
has to be almost a pawn in this scenario. Like, we're talking about a human being, people. I don't really care who party you with.
Right.
Like, y'all should have been able to bipartisanly work together because it's a human being who happens to be a United States citizen. I don't put aside that you're a Democrat and I'm a Republican, or you're a Republican and I'm a Democrat. Put it aside.
Right.
Because it's a human being that we're talking about. That's just where I am on it. Like,
yeah, I'm with you.
So anyway, I'm done. Because I do get emotional about this, because I'm really like, this chick should not still be over there. Y'all just, period. I don't care what you do, but you need to get it done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really hope to see her home soon.
Me too.
I really do. Because now she's gone to prison. She's no longer in jail.
Real roll call.
Yes.
All right. Are the Utah Jazz ruining their chances of rebuilding, or do they need to? This is a real roll call.
Yeah.
We're gonna put our minute on.
It's the people's eyebrow again for me.
And I'm gonna let you go first. Go.
I do not think they really need to be trying to, at this point, the way they're playing, they're what, 10-2, something like that? Like, maybe you didn't need Rudy Gobert and Mitchell Donovan. You just needed to be able to go and just do what you do with a utilitarian crew and just do what you do. So stop trying to bring a superstar. But if you tank your season just to get that kid, then you, no, like, you're going to mess up what you got going on that seems to be working. Keep it going.
Hey, Lakers, do you hear that?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
So, Lakers, after hearing that, you need to put together some packages to trade AD and Russell Westbrook. Get some good pieces to put around LeBron, some good legit pieces to put around LeBron, because you don't need a whole bunch of superstars. And the Utah Jazz are showing us that. Thank you, Jazz. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. James Franklin gives himself a self-imposed punishment for doing push-ups.
No, he got an unsportsmanlike penalty.
Oh, it was an unsportsmanlike penalty.
So he did the push-ups.
He did the push-ups and got an unsportsmanlike. And so he is giving himself a self-imposed penalty for doing that for his team. Mm-hmm. Or doing that to his team.
Yes.
Do you love it or not?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, granted, they were up 24-0 at this point. The 15-yard unsportsmanlike penalty that he got did not hurt them. Like, they still stopped the team. But I love that you are showing your players that you are in this thing and you're not above. You know what I mean? Like, I did this to you. I'm sure this must be the tradition he has set. You get a penalty, probably in practice, you got to do push-ups. So he just decided to do them on the sideline in front of everybody in the world so that his players can see that he is humble enough to just do that.
I think he should be fired.
Shut up. Why?
Because he did that to Merlin. I didn't like it at all. It was 30. The game ended 30-0. They beat Merlin.
It did.
And it was ugly. And I didn't appreciate it at all. So
you are silly. Okay, so just so y'all know, this is Jared's team. So this is why he's having a problem with what James Franklin did. Yes. But
I didn't like it at all.
I'm going to be unbiased over here because I have no skin in this game, mm-hmm. and say that I think that it was a good thing for him to demonstrate that he practices what he preaches to his players, regardless of who it was that they had to drag to get there.
Now, what if he did that to Georgia?
I would still feel the exact same way. I really would, because it's about him demonstrating to his players that he's in it with them. And I love that. Like, you know, I'm huge on chemistry.
Oh, yeah. Right.
On the chemistry and the way that you connect. Because to me, that's how you really build something special, is that connection that you have.
Yeah.
And so I feel like this is, for him, that was so dope. I loved it.
No, you know, and I was just...
he needed to be fired.
I didn't like that he did that to Merlin, obviously.
I know.
But, I love this. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things where nobody's above the team, and you are letting the team know that by imposing a self-imposed penalty. So, mm-hmm. you got to tip your hat to James Franklin for doing something like this.
I love it.
Dude, okay, so
keep,
I didn't
keep being good.
I didn't hit the time.
You did not. We just did about 2 minutes. I'm doing it all.
All right, let's go to the next one. So okay. Kyrie Irving's suspension has been extended, even though Adam Silver, Josiah, we talked about this earlier, both came out and said that they didn't think that Kyrie Irving was an anti-Semite based off of their conversations with him. Do you think this is excessive like LeBron stated? And go.
I do. I feel like this is more of we gonna show you type thing versus, you know, we gonna show you who in charge kind of thing versus this makes sense at this point. He's done what you asked him to do. They've been able to conclude what they have, and you still, why is he suspended? Why are you extending his suspension? You need to be able to give an explanation for why you're extending the suspension.
I plead the fifth.
Okay. Okay.
You know, given my comments over the last couple of weeks, anything I say going forward is probably going to be, you know, emotionally driven and, you know, so.
Okay. You fair?
Yeah.
I probably should have played.
I don't agree.
I should have probably did that on the Brittany Griner story, but okay.
Oh, no. Because what you said about Brittany Griner was, you know, was legit.
Yeah.
And it made sense. And even though it was emotional, I think we all know. But because there is a level of, and we talked about it earlier, a level of miseducation here.
Yes.
And I would just want to know how they're coming to these conclusions. Because like I said, with Kyrie, at a certain point, this feels like bullying.
It's either that or you just really just like, let's just keep him out because it's too much. You know what I mean? Like, it's too much distraction. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And they've been winning.
Right. And so I feel like, but again, all I said was explain why. Yeah. If that's it, then that's fine. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
But I need you not to just be like, yep, he got another day. That feels like you said, like bullying. That feels like you, like trying to like lord some power over somebody, and that part doesn't feel right about any of that.
On to the real.
Yeah.
All right. Now I have to split myself in order. I have to split myself in order to do this on to the real justice, right? Because you and I, we had a brief exchange about this, right?
Mm-mm.
About Jeff Saturday becoming the head coach of the Colts? No? Okay.
Probably was talking to somebody else. You know, you always having these discussions groups and stuff. Yeah.
I thought it was you, though. Okay. So, Jeff Saturday, who is a Hall of Famer, or at least a future Hall of Famer, a former Colt for life.
Yeah, for real.
He walked out of the booth or out of his job as a pundit, sports pundit, into being the interim head coach of the Colts. And with somebody, he's like Mr. Colt. He's more Mr. Colt than our GOAT is. Our GOAT went and left and won a Super Bowl.
Only because he left. Yeah.
And that's the only reason why, because you know how much we love Peyton.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Jeff Saturday was named the coach of the Colts.
Yeah.
And for somebody like myself, who I don't have a lot of coaching experience, if I were given this honor to be the coach of the Howard Bison, I would be overwhelmed, certainly. But I would be honored that they looked at me so much as being a part of the culture of Howard football.
Yes.
To make that type of decision.
Yeah.
So for Jeff Saturday to receive this honor, you know, I can only tip my hat to him. Listening to the press conference, I was excited about him getting started with doing what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so I'm super psyched for him. You know, I remember, vividly remember the argument that he and Peyton Manning had on the sideline. And I just love the fact that he was willing to go back and forth with Peyton Manning. Like,
he's like, no, I know what I'm talking about.
Right,
I
this is what it is.
He's
like,
genius, but yeah. I know what I'm talking about. Yeah, no, I love it. I love this for him too. Obviously, I think when you say you have to split yourself, there's obviously the side of us that would be like, well, it's some qualified people. And they don't have to be of color, but it is a lot of them of color who are out here who have way more experience as coaches that could have come into this place. But that too, to me, speaks volumes about Jeff Saturday and who he is to the Colts.
Yeah. If it was somebody other than Jeff Saturday, like, I would have had to have a conversation with you before we started and being like, I'm not going to be able to do it. But because, and that's what makes it such a polarizing thing for me, you know, because he is Mr. Indianapolis.
I mean, it's his team. Like, absolutely.
You know. And so anybody other than him, I would have truly had a problem with it. Yeah. But because it was him, you know what? I understand the move.
Yeah.
Understand the move. I had my problems with the process.
Yes.
And that has nothing to do with him.
It does not. Nothing
to do with Jim Irsay.
That's right.
But
it's a good old boy thing, but it's okay. Yep.
I'm excited for him to show his leadership ability.
Yes.
What we know about being a head coach is not about, it's not necessarily about how much you know. It's about being a leader of men and being a project manager.
That's it. You got to be a good, what do they call it? The word just escaped me. Why can't I think of the word? Like assigning out tasks.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be good at that. You got to be good at looking at talent, noticing the people. You can be a mediocre football mind, but if you're a genius at picking your staff, Bruce Arians was great, but he was smart enough to know I need to put these people around me to make me that much better.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I don't know why, like, the Bucks is like, they just loaded with people, because Byron Leftwich would have been a thought in my head if it was not Jeff Sapp, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. But good stuff. We here for you.
Yeah.
We rooting for you, Jeff Saturday. You're a good dude.
Absolutely.
Was dedicated to this team. You held down our goat because you was the one of the main lines of defense to keep him on his feet.
Right.
So we appreciate you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Phil, good final thought.
I'm going to let you have this.
Now, you know this is one is near and dear to us both.
Let you have this one.
This is near and dear to us both. Family of the show, not just friend of the show, family of the show, right. Coach Gary Fee Harrell, was named to the MEAC Hall of Fame. He was inducted. He will be inducted into the MEAC Hall of Fame, but he was named to the MEAC Hall of Fame. And it's like, I got to see his career from afar, being a middle schooler in Washington, D.C., and seeing him be, you know, this larger-than-life figure to going from, you know, that to being coached by him.
Yeah.
Being a part of, you know, the Howard University football team when he was the receivers coach. To being a grown adult and being able to go and interview him and speak to him about, like, just how his methods as a coach inspired me.
Yeah.
You know, and so to be able to do this and to be able to honor him in this way. And to speak about, you know, this induction into the MEAC Hall of Fame is just kind of a full circle moment.
Absolutely.
Coach Flea, man, we truly appreciate you, you know,
So proud.
And I reached out to you to talk to you about coming to interview you. I was a little nervous because I was like, man, I hadn't talked to Coach Flea in a while. And when we got on the phone, you were like, yeah, come on, whenever you want to come. And the fact that you were just so open about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had a couple of conversations with you since. And you just being willing, you know, to have us come to Jackson to interview with you and to speak with you about what you're doing there, man. We truly appreciate you. I could go on and on about the many ways that you've inspired me, the many ways that you, you know, help me become, you know what I'm saying, a better coach, a better person. Yeah. But we just want to honor you, you know what I'm saying, with this field of final thought this week.
Absolutely.
Even though Steph,
the humanity and humility is evident with you. Yeah. And I just really appreciate super that. Super humble. And I just really appreciate that. So you deserve this. We are just, yes, in your corner.
Yeah.
You did it. Yes, sir. You deserve this. So for sure. Congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yes.
All right, Steph.
Yeah.
Show picks.
Yeah.
What you watching?
So I watched the 2020 special on Wakanda Forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you, I probably cried the entire show. The entire show, I cried. Yeah. Because not only, of course, did they honor and talk a lot about Chadwick Boseman,
mm-hmm.
Like the first thing, why can't I think of his name? I just saw the movie today, Jesus. What's the director's name? Ryan. Him.
Mm-hmm.
He was so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also spoke with Chadwick Boseman's widow. That was the heart-wrenching part of the 2020 special. But the care for honoring the accuracy for African culture, mm-hmm. Afrofuturistic, all of the Afrocentric, the honor and care in which this cast and crew
mm-hmm.
took to honor the authenticity
mm-hmm.
with the costumes, with the music, with the sets, with the scenes, was meticulous.
Yeah.
And it was just a beautiful thing to see how they went all over Africa,
mm-hmm.
Looking for inspiration for the costumes, how they went all over the world looking for, you know, music and people to participate. It was just amazing. And then today, getting a chance to actually go and see the movie and watching all of that on the big screen like that. It was, listen, I was telling my friend I was with, I need somebody to make me some of these clothes because they were, it was just beautiful. So, yeah, that's what I'm watching.
All right, so you make my little lowly power three sound like nothing.
No,
but I am. They just wrapped up season two, so I'm still trying to make my way through season one. This was the only power book that I was intrigued by,
mm-hmm.
given how power ended.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes a look at Kanan, who was one of the characters in Power, and how he got his start. And so, you know, I'll be watching all of the
regular
shows and movies.
Of course, which I can't do, but
And so this one, like, I love a good origin story.
Yeah.
And so this one is an origin story, and so.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I'm all about, listen, we all need to, that's something I think as the world, we need to do better at. We want people caring about people's origins.
Yeah.
It's a reason for anything you see.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right. We are at the end of another one. Episode one of the books.
Yeah.
If you guys want to reach out to us, you can contact us at our email address. And that is feel2therealpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us on our show, our socials, our Twitter, our IG, our Facebook, our YouTube, and our TikTok account. Our Twitter account is @feel2therealp1. I won't even go into that. Our IG is @feel2therealpodcast. Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok are what you see above Stephanie's head right now, and that's Feel2therealpodcast. That's T-O, not the number. T-O, Feel2therealpodcast. Go to our Facebook page. We have videos on there, but ultimately you can go to our YouTube page where you can subscribe and see all of our content as soon as it is uploaded. Like, share, subscribe, comment. Definitely let us know how you feel about what you've seen. We are requesting that you be respectful, definitely, you know, because had a couple of disrespectful comments. But, you know, for those of you who really connect with the content, we truly appreciate you. We hope you continue to comment, continue to give us feedback, because we like it and we need it.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. Absolutely. For sure.
But that is it. We are at the end. We love you guys. We truly appreciate you rocking with us, because I know some of you who see an episode drop and you're just like, all right, where y'all at? What's going on? And it's dropping early in the week now. You know, it's a little bit more difficult, you know, to stay up with. So yeah. Thank you guys. We love you. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. We are
out of here.
Yes.
Peace. Oh, you ain't giving us on this year?
I got on the black shirt.
Wait, let us see it.
Nope.
For the YouTube people. For the YouTube
No,
people.
I'm good.
Let's try it one time.
We're good.
No. All right, y'all. We out. Now put the cameras on me. Put the cameras on me.